18. You discover wonders down below. Ika takes you into the house from which she and her companions emerged. There's little furniture inside, and the walls are bare. There's scuffing on the floor and walls, a lingering smell of food and stale body musk. Someone did live here until recently. Maybe until the season began. The house is only a shell now, though, as you and the others cut through to a cellar door. At the bottom of the steps, you find a large, empty chamber lit only by wood-pitch torches. Here's where you first start to realize this is more than just a bizarre community of people and not people. The walls of the cellar are solid granite. Nobody quarries into granite just to build a cellar, and you're not sure anyone dug this. Everyone stops while you go to one of the walls and touch it. You close your eyes and reach. Yes, there is the feel of something familiar here. Some Raga shaped this perfectly smooth wall, using will and a focus finer than you can imagine, though not the finest focus you've ever sessed. You've never heard of anyone doing anything like this with the Rajani. It's not for building. Turning, you see Ika watching you. Your work? She smiles. No, this and other hidden entrances have been around for centuries, long before me. The people in this calm have worked with Origins for that long? She'd said the calm was only 50 years old. Ika laughs. No, I just mean that this world has passed through many hands down the seasons. Not all of them were quite as stupid as ours about the usefulness of Origins. We aren't stupid about it now, you say. Everyone understands perfectly well how to use us. Ooh, Ika grimaces pityingly. Fulcrum trained? The ones who survive it always seem to sound like you. You wonder how many Fulcrum trained Origins this woman has met. Yes. Well, now you'll see how much more we're capable of when we're willing. And Ika gestures toward a wide opening in the wall a few feet beyond her, which you hadn't noticed in your fascination with the cellar's construction. A faint draft wafts into the cellar from beyond it. There are also three people loitering at the mouth of the opening, watching you with varied expressions of hostility, wariness, amusement. They're not carrying any weapons, those are propped against the wall nearby. And they're not conspicuous about it, but you realize these are the gate guards this comm should have. For the gate this comm doesn't have. Here, in this cellar. The blonde woman speaks quietly with one of the guards. This emphasizes even more how tiny she is. A foot shorter, and probably 100 pounds lighter than the smallest of them. Her ancestors really should have done her a few favors and slept with a sunset or two. Anyway, then you move on and the guards stay behind, two taking seats on chairs nearby, the third heading back up the steps, presumably to keep a lookout from within the empty building's topside. You make the paradigm shift, then. The abandoned village up there is this comm's wall. Camouflage, rather than a barrier. Camouflage for what, though? You follow Ika through the opening and into the dark beyond. The core of this place has always been here, she explains, as you walk down a long dark tunnel that might be an abandoned mine shaft. There's tracks for carts, though they're so old and sunken into the gritty stone that you can't really see them. Just awkward ridges beneath your feet. The wooden bracers of the tunnel look old, as do the wall sconces that hold cord-strung electric lights. They look like they were originally made to hold wooden torches and got retrofitted by some engineer. The lights are still working, which means the comms got functional geo or hydro or both. Better than Terimo already. It's warm in the shaft, too. But you don't see any of the usual heating pipes. It's just warm, and getting warmer as you follow the gently sloping floor downward. I told you there were mines in the area. That's how they found these back in the day. Someone cracked a wall they shouldn't have and blundered into a whole warren of tunnels nobody knew were there. Ika falls silent for a long while as the shaft widens out, and you all go down a set of dangerous-looking metal steps. There's a lot of them. They look old, too. And yet, strangely, the metal doesn't seem distressed or rusted out. It's smooth and shiny and all over whole. The steps aren't shaky at all. After a time, you notice, belatedly, that the red-haired stone eater is gone. She didn't follow you down into the shaft. Ika doesn't seem to notice, so you touch her arm. Where's your friend? Though you sort of know. My, oh, that one. Moving the way we do is hard for them. So they've got their own ways of getting about, including ways I would never have guessed. She glances at Hoa, who's come down the steps with you. He looks back at her coldly, and she breathes out a laugh. Interesting. At the bottom of the stairs, there's another tunnel, though it looks different for some reason. Curved at its top, rather than squared, and the supports are some sort of thick, silvery stone columns, which arch partway up the walls like ribs. You can almost taste the age of these corridors through the pores of your skin. Ika resumes. Really, all the bedrock in this area is riddled with tunnels and intrusions, mines on top of mines. One civilization after another, building on what went before. Aritasid, says Tonki. Jamaria, the lower Ari states. You've heard of Jamaria from the history you used to teach in creche. It was the name of a large nation, the one that started the road system Sansa later improved upon, and which once spread over most of what is now the Somid Lats. It died around 10 seasons ago. The rest of the names are probably those of other dead civs. That seems like the sort of thing geomests would care about, even if no one else does. Dangerous, you say, as you try not to be too obvious with your unease. If the rock here's been compromised so much, yes, though that's a risk with any mining, as much because of incompetence as shakes. Tonki is turning and turning as she walks, taking it all in, and still not bumping into anyone. Amazing. That northern shake was severe enough that even this should have come down, she says. You're right. That shake. We're calling it the Humanus Rifting, since nobody's come up with a better name yet. It was the worst the world's seen in an age. I don't think I'm exaggerating by saying so. Ika shrugs and glances back at you. But of course the tunnels didn't collapse because I was here. I didn't let them. You nod slowly. It's no different than what you did for Tirimo, except Ika must have taken care to protect more than just the surface. The area must be relatively stable anyway, or these tunnels would have all collapsed ages ago. But you say, you won't always be around. When I'm not, someone else will do it, she shrugs. Like I said, there's a lot of us here now. About that, Tonki pivots on one foot, and suddenly her whole attention is on Ika. Ika laughs. Kind of single-minded, aren't you? Not really. You suspect Tonki is still simultaneously taking note of the supports and wall composition, counting your paces, whatever, all while she talks. So how are you doing it? Luring origins here. Luring? Ika shakes her head. It's not that sinister, and it's hard to describe. There's a thing I do, like... She falls silent. And all at once, you stumble while you're walking. There's no obstruction on the floor. It's just suddenly difficult to walk in a straight line, as if the floor has developed an invisible downward slope. Toward Yika. You stop and glare at her. She stops as well, turning to smile at you. How are you doing that? You demand.
I don't know.
She spreads her hands at your disbelieving look.
It's just something I tried a few years ago. And not too long after I started doing it, a man came to town and said he'd felt me from miles away. Then two kids showed up. They didn't even realize what they were reacting to. Then another man. I've kept doing it since.
Doing what? Tanki asks, looking from you to Yika.
Only Rogas feel it,
Yika explains, though by this point you've figured that out for yourself. Then she glances at Hoa, who is watching both of you, utterly still.
And them, I realized later.
About that, Tanki blurts.
Earth fires and rust buckets, you ask too many questions.
This comes from the blonde woman, who shakes her head and gestures for all of you to keep walking.
There are faint, occasional noises up ahead now, and the air is moving, noticeably. How can that be? You must be a mile down, maybe twice that. The breeze is warm and tinged with scents you've almost forgotten after weeks of breathing sulfur and ash through a mask. A bit of cooking food here, a waft of rotting garbage there, a breath of burning wood. People. You're smelling people, lots of them. And there's a light, much stronger than the strings of electric lights along the walls, straight ahead.
An underground comm? Tanki says what you're thinking, though she sounds more skeptical. You know more about impossible things than she does.
No. Nobody's that stupid.
Yika only laughs. Then, as the peculiar light starts to brighten the shaft around you, and the air moves faster and the noise grows, there's a place where the tunnel opens out and becomes a wide ledge with a metal railing for safety. A scenic viewpoint, because some engineer or innovator understood exactly how newcomers would react. You do exactly as that long-ago designer intended. You stare in open-mouthed, abject wonder. It's a geode. You can sense that. The way the rock around you abruptly changes to something else. The pebble in the stream, the warp in the weft. Countless eons ago, a bubble formed in a flow of molten mineral within Father Earth. Within that pocket, nurtured by incomprehensible pressures and bathed in water and fire, crystals grew. This one's the size of a city. Which is probably why someone built a city in this one. You stand before a vast, vaulted cavern that is full of glowing crystal shafts the size of tree trunks. Big tree trunks. Or buildings. Big buildings. They jut forth from the walls in an utterly haphazard jumble. Different lengths, different circumferences, some white and translucent, and a few smoky or tinged with purple. Some are stubby, their pointed tips ending only a few feet away from the walls that grew them. But many stretch from one side of the vast cavern into the indistinct distance. They form struts and roads too steep to climb, going in directions that make no sense. It's as if someone found an architect, made her build a city out of the most beautiful materials available, then threw all those buildings into a box and jumbled them up for laughs. And they're definitely living in it. As you stare, you notice narrow rope bridges and wooden platforms everywhere. There are dangling lines strung with electric lanterns, ropes and pulleys carrying small lifts from one platform to another. In the distance, a man walks down a wooden stairway built around a titanic slanted column of white. Two children play on the ground far below, in between stubby crystals, the size of houses,
Actually, some of the crystals are houses. They have holes cut in them, doors and windows. You can see people moving around inside some of them. Smoke curls from chimney holes cut in pointed crystal tips. Evil, eating, earth, you whisper. Yika stands with hands on her hips, watching your reaction with something like pride in her expression.
We didn't do most of this, she admits. The recent additions, the new abridges, yes, but the shaft hollowing had already been done. We don't know how they managed it without shattering the crystals. The walkways that are made of metal, it's the same stuff as the steps in the tunnels we just passed through. The Janiyas have no idea how it's made. Metallurgists and alchemists have orgasms when they see it.
There are mechanisms up there. She points toward the barely visible ceiling of the cavern, hundreds of feet above your heads. You barely hear her, your mind numb, your eyes beginning to ache from staring without blinking.
That pump Badea into a layer of porous earth that filters and disperses it back onto the surface. Other pumps bring in good air. There are mechanisms just outside the geode that divert water from an underground hot spring a ways off through a turbine that gives us electric power. Took ages to figure that part out. And also bring it in for day-to-day use.
She sighs.
But to be really honest, we don't know how half the stuff we found here works. All of it was built long ago, long before old Sansa ever existed.
Geodes are unstable once their shells are breached.
Even Tonki sounds floored. In your peripheral vision, she is still, for the first time since you met her.
It doesn't make sense to even think of building inside one. And why are the crystals glowing?
She's right, they are. Ika shrugs, folding her arms.
No idea. But the people who built this wanted it to last, even through a shake. So they did things to the geode to make sure that would happen. And it did. But they didn't. When people from Kastrima found this, it was full of skeletons. Some so old they turned to dust as soon as we touched them.
So your calm forebears decided to move everyone into a giant dead civ artifact that killed the last few people who risked it, you drawl.
It's weak, Snark, though. You're too shaken to really get the tone right.
Of course. Why not repeat a colossal mistake? Believe me, it's been an ongoing debate.
Yika sighs and leans against the railing, which makes you twitch. It's a long way down if she slips, and some of the crystals on the geode floor are sharp-looking.
No one was willing to live here for a long time. Kastrima used this place and the tunnels leading to it as a store cache, though never for essentials like food or medicine. But in all that time, there's never been so much as a crack in the walls, even after shakes. We were further convinced by history. The calm that controlled this area during the last season, a real proper calm, with walls and everything, got overrun by a calmless band. The whole calm was burned to the ground, all their vital stores taken. The survivors had a choice between moving down here and trying to survive up there with no heat and no walls, and every bunch of scavengers around homing in on the easy pickings left. So they were our precedent.
Necessity is the only law, says Stonelore.
Not that it went well.
Ika straightens and gestures for you to follow her again. All of you start down a broad, flat ramp that gently slopes toward the floor of the cavern. You realize only belatedly that it's a crystal, and you're walking down its side. Someone's paved the thing with concrete for traction, but past the edges of the gray strip, you can see softly glowing white.
Most of the people who moved down here during that season died too. They couldn't make the air mechanisms work. Staying here for more than a few days at a time meant suffocation, and they didn't have any food. So even though they were warm and safe and had plenty of water, most of them starved before the sun returned. It's an old tale, freshened only by the unique setting. You nod absently, trying not to stumble as your attention is caught by an older man riding across the cavern while suspended from a pulley and cable, his butt snugly tucked into a loop of rope. Yika pauses to wave. The man waves back and glides on. The survivors of that nightmare started the trading post that eventually became Kastrima. They passed down stories about this place, but still, no one wanted to live here. Until my great-grandmother realized why the mechanisms didn't work. Until she got them working just by walking through that entrance. Yika gestures back the way you came. Worked for me, too, when I first came down here. You stop. Everyone goes on without you for a moment. Hoa is the first to notice that you're not following. He turns and looks at you. There is something guarded in his expression that was not there before, you notice distantly through horror and wonder. Later, when you've had time to get past this, you and he will have to talk. Now there are more important considerations. The mechanisms, you say. Your mouth is dry. They run on orogeny. Yika nods, half smiling. That's what the Janias think. Of course, the fact that it's all working now makes the conclusion obvious. Is it? You grope for the words, fail. How? Yika laughs, shaking her head. I have no idea. It just works. That, more than everything else she's shown you, terrifies you. Yika sighs and puts her hands on her hips. Esun, she says, and you twitch. That's your name, right? You lick your lips. Esun resists, and then you stop. Because you were about to give the name you gave to people in Tarimo for years. And that name is a lie. Esun, you say again, and stop there. Limited lying. Yika glances at your companions. Tonki, innovator D-bars, says Tonki. She throws an almost embarrassed look at you, then looks down at her feet. Hoa, says Hoa. Yika gazes at him a moment longer, as if she expects more, but he offers nothing. Well then, Yika opens her arms, as if to encompass the whole geode. She gazes at all of you with her chin lifted, almost in defiance. This is what we're trying to do here in Kastrima. Survive. Same as anyone. We're just willing to innovate a little. She inclines her head to Tonki, who chuckles nervously. We might all die doing it, but rust. That might happen anyway. It's a season. You lick your lips. Can we leave? What the rust do you mean, can we leave? We barely had time to explore. Tonki begins, looking angry, and then abruptly realizes what you mean. Her sallow face grows more so. Oh. Yika's smile is sharp as diamond. Well, you're not stupid, that's good. Come on. We've got some people to meet. She beckons for you to follow again, resuming her walk down the slope. And she does not answer your question. In actual practice, the sesopinae, paired organs located at the base of the brainstem, have been found to be sensitive to far more than local seismic movements and atmospheric pressure. In tests, reactions have been observed to the presence of predators, to others' emotions, to distant extremes of heat or cold, and to the movements of celestial objects. The mechanism of these reactions cannot be determined.
Nandvid innovator Merketsi. Observations of sessional variation in overdeveloped individuals. 7th University, Biomastery Learning, com. With appreciation to the Fulcrum for cadaver donation.